continue our program here at Radio Blast, answering some questions from you, dear listeners. A dear brother from Mexico, he wrote to us a difficult question which made us study a little. Thank you, brother. That was very good. Can I read it for you, Brother Joseph?
Yes, from Mexico.
Yes.
Bless him.
He says, I have a question for Brother Joseph. We who are in Christ, when we die, we sleep until our Lord comes and takes us to heaven? Do we go to Hades, to Sheol, or do we go directly to heaven? And I would like to read you the references he's giving.
Yes, please.
So we understand better the question. So, when we die, do we sleep until our Lord comes and takes us to heaven? It says in Daniel 12:2, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Verse 3, those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament. And then Luke 8:52. Now all wept and mourned for her, but he said, do not weep, she is not dead, but sleeping. So this says that those who died, actually they're sleeping.
Okay.
And then the brother is asking, do we go to Hades or Sheol, like it says in Genesis 44:29?
Sheol.
Sheol.
Okay.
And if you take this son also from me, and harm or accident should befall him, you will bring down my gray hairs with sorrow and evil to Sheol.
Okay.
So it's mentioned this word Sheol in Genesis 44:29.
All right.
Or the question is, when we die, do we go directly to heaven? Because it says in Luke 23:42 and 43, then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. So this is the thief on the cross.
Right.
That Jesus told him, today you will be with me in paradise.
Amen.
So the brother continued his question. As I understand, there are different areas of the Sheol, depending if you are righteous or ungodly. Is that it? What about the testimony of those people who had after-death experiences that say that they went to heaven and they saw their relatives? And then if we do go to heaven, then who will be raised by the Lord? As always, receive our best wishes, blessings, and love in Christ.
Oh, bless him. I know these brethren are very, very sweet.
Yes, they're special.
We just received a picture, right, for this brother?
Yes, they're darling.
They're so cute.
So, wow. Brother, what's the answer? And there are so many different options here. When you die, what happens to you? You go to sleep, you go to Hades, you resurrect and go directly with the Lord.
Yeah, well, look, the last part you read is like some people experience, they die, and so they go to heaven, they see the relatives.
Mm-hmm.
Well, listen, I'm going to read some scripture. There is a scripture, for example, where there's a rich man in Luke 16, he dies, and he goes to a terrible place, Hades, all right? And from there, he sees not a relative, but somebody he knows, and that's Abraham. And he has a conversation with Abraham. You understand?
Yes.
Okay, let's find that scripture. Luke 16:22. And read until 25.
And so it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and you are tormented.
So as you see, it doesn't look like this guy went to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Neither him went to Hades, neither Lazarus went to Abraham's bosom. In other words, Lazarus,
sure.
He went to Abraham, okay?
All right, yeah.
So if he went with Abraham, I imagine Abraham, is not sleeping because he's talking.
Right.
Okay, so I don't see this guy going to Abraham to go to sleep on Abraham. Why should he?
Okay.
It seems like he's very well awake.
So it's not like the Jehovah's Witnesses say we go to sleep for, I don't know, thousands of years.
No, the Jehovah's Witnesses don't understand the Bible very much. They're very kind of carnal because they don't believe in the Holy Spirit. So they interpret the Bible very carnally. In fact, when you see the picture of Jesus they make, it looks like just a guy, you know, just a... I read some of the Jehovah's Witness stuff. They say that Jesus is the same like any saints, all right, which is ridiculous. You know, he says all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth, in Matthew 28. So he's God. God gave him everything. So don't listen to the Jehovah's Witness. They're pretty off the track because they don't have the Holy Spirit. Look, we're going to go to John 11:11.
These things he said, and after that he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up." So Lazarus was dead here.
Right, he was dead, but Jesus said he's sleeping.
Why?
Well, he didn't want to scare them. He didn't want them to lose faith. He didn't want them to think, oh, he's dead, it's going to be tough. So Jesus said, don't worry, he's just sleeping. Mm-hmm. So he's trying to take away the spirit of death. Mm-hmm. All right? Because actually nobody dies, really. They just move to another world, a bad one or a good one.
All right, like nobody ceases to exist.
Nobody really dies. It's just his little shell.
Okay.
It's like when like a caterpillar, it gets rid of his cocoon, like a skin, and becomes a butterfly. That, you see, everything in nature teaches us the reality of the spirit. So a butterfly represents the angels that flies around. First, he has to get rid of the cocoon.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's a membrane. It's called membrane. So it's like a skin around the caterpillar, crawls on the ground. So he loses the skin, and out comes a butterfly. It's an image like we get rid of our membrane, our flesh, and then our butterfly soul is free to fly to Jesus if we are saved, or to be dragged to Hades waiting for hell and for judgment, possibly hell if we're not saved. You understand? So
yes.
Here we see Lazarus, he flew to Abraham's bosom. And we see the selfish rich man.
In Luke 16, you mean?
Yeah, Luke 16, we read before.
Okay.
And he's dragged into the pit, into Hades, waiting for judgment, and possibly lake of fire. Understand? So did you finish that?
I was reading John 11.
Until 14, look.
John 11?
Yeah. 11:11 till 14.
Verse 12. Then his disciples said, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well." However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, "Lazarus is dead."
So we understand here that Jesus uses sleeping as a metaphor to mean physical death.
Yeah.
Okay. So, some people can interpret, there they went to sleep. Hmm. Okay, but let's carry on, because there are scripture here very interesting on this subject. Okay, so let's go to Luke 23. 42. Let's go to verse 42 and 43.
Luke 23, 42. Then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise."
Okay, so attention.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, the dead of the Old Testament went to paradise.
Yes.
Okay, because that was still Old Testament. Okay, Jesus hadn't resurrected yet. So the question is, what is paradise? If you go to the Greek here in this scripture, Luke 23, 42 or 43. So the dictionary, Strong's dictionary, says that paradise is the word paradisos, which means, literally means Eden, a park.
Eden. The Garden of Eden.
Yeah. So basically, it's not that the devil destroyed the Garden of Eden. God just removed it somewhere else. We don't know exactly where.
In the spiritual world.
Okay, so some people have interpreted, which could be very well be, that God moved it under the earth. Because when we see King Saul in 1 Samuel 28, 29 over there, he went to the witch in Endor and he called Samuel. So he came from the earth, he came from heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so Samuel said, "Why do you bother my rest? Why do you bother me?" I believe he came from paradise. Mm-hmm. Like a Garden of Eden, like Adam and Eve were living.
Mm-hmm.
Awaiting for the first raised from the dead, Jesus, so that they can also be raised with Jesus. Okay, as soon as Jesus was raised, Also the saints of the Old Testament were also raised.
How do you know?
Matthew 27, it talks about that. When do you go there, Matthew 27?
Okay.
It's like, as soon as Jesus, his spirit, as soon as he died on the cross, according to 1 Peter 3:19 and also 1 Peter 4:6, he went to preach to the spirits who were like in Hades.
Mm-hmm.
So, see, this, the spirits of the saints who died in the Old Testament, they could not go to New Jerusalem until Jesus went there, because he said in John 14, I go to prepare a place for you. You have to be the first one, understand?
He was the first one who resurrected Jesus.
Yes.
Yes.
Read Matthew 27, 52 and 53.
And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many.
Okay, you see, that's why people think they're sleeping there. But asleep is just a form of speaking, because God doesn't want to say they're dead, because they're not dead. The spirits move from this tabernacle, this body, this membrane, into another world, good or bad.
So I understand you're making a differentiation between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Because here you're saying in the Old Testament, people were dying, but nobody was resurrecting. They were all waiting for Jesus to be the first one to resurrect.
Yeah.
And they were going where with the spirits of the Old Testament?
Well, it depends. If they were believers, they went to paradise.
Okay. Like Samuel, you said.
Like Samuel, like Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. He didn't say in heaven.
Yeah.
He didn't say New Jerusalem. Because he was still in the Old Testament. He couldn't go to heaven before Jesus.
Okay.
You know, Jesus, after the resurrection, said, don't touch me, said to Mary Magdalena, I haven't gone to the Father yet.
Okay.
You understand?
All right.
So these guys, these saints of the Old Testament, they resurrected, appeared, but it doesn't say they went to New Jerusalem or to heaven, because Jesus hadn't gone there yet.
Mm-hmm.
He had to go to Hades and preach the gospel to the dead, to the spirits of the dead.
Now, what is Hades?
Hades is a place where it's like a prison. You can read the look of 1 Peter 3:19 and also chapter 4, verse 6.
1 Peter 3:19.
Yes.
It says, by whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who formerly were disobedient. Keep reading.
That's enough. In this time, Jesus went to preach it to prison to the spirits in prisons. That's the people who die without Jesus. Chapter 4, verse 6.
Okay. For this reason, the gospel was preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit.
In this time, so God gives a chance also to the people who died and the spirits are in prison. Gives them a chance who didn't have a chance to see Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as the Messiah came, Jesus came, when he died on the cross for 3 days, he went to preach the gospel in the spirit to the people who had died, and the spirits were in this prison.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? So that's what happened. This is Hades. It's a bad place. It's a prison. But paradise is a good place. That's the place that Jesus said to the thief, today you'll be with me in paradise. Because Jesus went to both to Hades and to paradise. To Hades to preach the gospel. And to paradise to call the saints of the Old Testament to go to heaven with him. Now he was resurrected. They could follow him. They couldn't go to heaven before Jesus.
Yes.
He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you.
How do you know in those 3 days that Jesus went to Hades to preach the gospel?
Well, to read again in 1 Peter 3:19. Read the scripture before. Read the whole paragraph, okay?
Okay. 1 Peter 3:18.
Read the whole paragraph about this subject.
For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by whom also he went and preached to the prisons in prison, who formerly were disobedient, when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, 8 souls, were saved through water.
Okay, reference?
That was 1 Peter 3, from 18 to 20.
Right, okay, this is the whole paragraphs. So Christ went... When he died, in the spirit, it says. In other words, he died on the cross, and in the spirit, God sent him to also offer salvation to those who died.
In the flood.
And in the flood, that's just an example. Everyone who died without Jesus.
Ah, yeah.
All right.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Does it make clear?
All right. So these are the people from the Old Testament. So those who were saved, or whoever were faithful like Samuel, they went to paradise.
They were in paradise, saved, awaiting for Christ to come, the Messiah to come, close the Old Testament, close the curse, mm-hmm. okay, and open the New Testament, open the grace of salvation.
And those who are not faithful, saved, like those who died in the flood, they went to Hades, where Jesus went to witness to them, to evangelize them.
Yes, yes, yes.
Now, that's the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, when somebody dies, you give us an example, Luke 16.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I have some scripture to share with you. In the New Testament, now Jesus is in heaven. Jesus is building New Jerusalem now. He said, I'll go to prepare a place for you in John 14, 1 and 2. Okay, now the place is ready. Now, as soon as you die, you go there. It's called New Jerusalem. Now, let's keep reading.
Okay.
Look, let's go to Philippians 1:23.
Philippians 1, verse 23. For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better.
Okay, you understand?
Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you.
You understand? 2 Corinthians 5:8 also. You can read. Paul said here, to depart. Okay, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ. Paul is saying, departing from this body,
dying.
It means to be in with Christ.
Dying, you mean?
Yeah, of course. Okay, I am hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is for the one, you read the whole paragraph, Philippians 1, 23, there's a whole paragraph there about this subject.
23 and 24?
Mm-hmm.
For I am hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh, it's more needful for you.
Do you understand? It's saying, remaining in the flesh, in this life, is better for you. But my desire is to go with Jesus because it's better.
Yes.
Now, departing from this life, it is to be with Christ.
Yes, amen.
It's not to go to some dormitory.
Okay.
What do you think Christ is? Some dormitory sleeping?
No.
So, to be with Christ, it means to be at least awake.
Amen.
I mean, Christ is not going to go to be there surrounded by people snoring. Have you ever tried to be with a bunch of snoring people around?
No.
I mean, my wife says I snore. And I guess she got used to it. She hasn't divorced me yet. So, it cannot be that bad. Well, look, what do you go to 2 Corinthians 5:8?
Yes, I'm there already. 2 Corinthians 5:8.
Yeah.
We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord.
See, it's the same, you understand?
Yes.
Also John 14:3. So it's like you get out of your body, absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
Amen.
All right, so the Lord is not sleeping, is he?
No.
He's not saying, okay, I'm going to some dormitory hotel. No, with the Lord. Okay, John 14:3.
And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also.
Okay, so Jesus is saying, I will come again and receive you to myself. What is he talking about? When they were murdered, crucified, killed, etc. Okay, Jesus is there waiting for them. You can see that in Acts chapter 7, 56. You know, like Stephen was about to depart, and Jesus is there waiting for him.
56,
yeah.
And said, look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God.
That's it. So Stephen is just there. You know, in verse 58, you see they were ready to stone him and they killed him.
Yeah.
Okay, they dragged him out of the city and killed him. Just before dying, Jesus is there. Usually he's sitting at the right hand of God, sitting on his throne. Here Jesus is standing, not ready to receive him, to give him a hug. All right, so do you think he's going to arrive there in coma, in trance, sleeping? Of course not.
Yeah.
There is no sleep when we die. The body dies, the spirit just goes straight with Jesus. Can we imagine Jesus ready to receive somebody who is sleeping? He doesn't have a dormitory next to him.
Amen.
Okay? Look, another scripture. You want another scripture?
Yes.
Luke 20, 37 to 38.
But even Moses showed in the burning bush passage that the dead are raised when he called the Lord the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. For he is not the God of the dead, but of the living, for all live to him.
Okay.
That's good.
Yeah, also Revelation 6, there is something on this line. Look, just like God is not the God of the dead, neither is the God of the sleeping.
Yes. Yes.
You know, he says in 1 Thessalonians 5, bread do not sleep as do others. So God is not in favor of sleeping, believe me. Like, of course, you can sleep when you're tired, but don't sleep in the spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, fine. Go to Revelation 6, yes. 9, and 11.
6, 9. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held.
Okay.
11.
Okay, yeah, keep going.
Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer, until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren, who would be killed as they were, was completed.
Did you read verse 10?
No.
Verse 10.
And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?
Okay. So you see here the souls... Or those who died were murdered. Are they sleeping?
No.
Does it say they're snoring?
Not at all.
Does it say that the Jehovah's Witness, they sleep deep?
No.
Of course not. What are they doing?
They are there crying out to the Lord.
They're praying to God. They're talking. Can you see somebody sleeping and talking and praying to God? Of course not. I mean, some people think in heaven is like some kind of a incredibly huge dormitory with millions of beds. That's ridiculous. Jesus can't wait to... Is there, he can hardly wait to hug us and love us and show us around his love. I mean, what am I supposed to sleep? Just because the Bible said they are sleeping. That was a metaphor.
So then when it says in Luke 16 that the rich man went to a place tormented, what is that? Like Lazarus the beggar went to Abraham in heaven. And the other guy, the rich guy, where did he go?
He went to paradise. And it's not because Jesus hasn't resurrected yet. Lazarus went to paradise to Abraham. You follow?
Yes.
Yes, and the bad guy went to Hades, a prison.
Ah, because that was still under the Old Testament.
Yeah, they went to paradise because Jesus hadn't resurrected yet.
Okay.
Nobody's in heaven yet. Nobody.
Right.
I mean, while Jesus was here preaching the gospel, there couldn't be Abraham in heaven running the show or something.
And what happens after Jesus resurrected, like in our days?
Now,
if a believer dies, we read Paul says clearly that to depart from the flesh is to be with the Lord.
Right.
If you're saved.
If you're saved.
And if somebody is not saved, where does he go?
He still goes to Hades, exactly the same.
Ah, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, waiting for the white throne judgment after the millennium.
And Hades is a good place or it's a bad
one? It's a terrible place. Ah. I mean, people who had the experience of Hades, people who, even today, there are people who came back, had the experience of life after death. They say it's full of demons, torturing each other, eating each other's flesh. One guy said that they're jerking arms off people and eating them, and that the arm grows again and nobody can die. It's a place where all the spirits of the departed, they exercise all the hate and the vengeance that they had against their enemies here, and they couldn't fulfill it.
You know, so it's like hell.
There are people who are there trying, looking for Hitler to beat him up and, this kind of stuff. And it's full of murderers, of people who never were redeemed, cleaned by the blood of Christ. And there's just eternal hate and vengeance. And they're just beating each other's up.
And what are they waiting for there?
They're just waiting for judgment, for the white throne judgment after the millennium, Revelation 20, verse 11.
After the millennium.
After the millennium.
All right, now I want to ask you, because the brother who wrote in has a very good point. Okay, we understand that if we die, we go to be with the Lord. So those people who had life after that experiences, then it's right that they saw their relatives. They saw also heaven and Jesus. But then what's the answer to the question? If we go to the Lord right when we die, then who's going to raise the Lord? The Lord will raise somebody when he comes back. Who is he going to raise?
He's going to raise our eternal body.
Understand? Body?
Yeah, it's like the body which was dead,
yeah,
the flesh, that will be raised up.
But the flesh will be disappearing into dust.
Yeah, sometimes it's dust, sometimes incinerated, sometimes whatever. That will be raised.
Why?
It will be raised because it's like God is not going to allow the devil to get a victory, because death, it comes from the devil, okay? Mm-hmm. So by killing us, he gets a victory. So God is going to show the devil and everybody that he's not going to get any victory. Even the body of flesh will be raised.
So I'm going to be in heaven with Jesus.
Right.
Already having... what's going to be in heaven? My spirit?
In heaven is going to be a blast of a feast.
Yeah, but I'm going to be in heaven in the form of a spirit.
You have a spiritual body.
I have a spiritual body.
As soon as you die... As soon as you die, your spiritual body goes to heaven. That's it.
All right. And then at a certain time in the future, the Lord will resurrect my flesh body?
Yeah, like it says in Daniel 12, 2 and 3, okay, many shall be raised from the dust of the earth, some to everlasting life, and some to everlasting shame.
So what am I going to do with my flesh body?
So that's your eternal body. See, I'll give you an example. When Jesus died, okay, on the cross, what did he say? Father, in your hands I put my spirit.
Yeah.
Okay. So his spirit went where? To God.
Yes.
And God didn't put him in Jerusalem in heaven. He put Jesus' spiritual body in the Hades for 3 nights and 3 days to evangelize the dead.
Mm-hmm.
We read that. We studied that.
Okay.
But why Jesus was in the spirit evangelizing, okay, in the Hades, people didn't have a chance, so in the days of Noah, they were killed, etc., they died.
Mm-hmm.
Remember we read?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, his body, his flesh, it was still in the tomb. So here is the dead body of Jesus in the tomb, and his spirit goes around evangelizing in the spirit world, and also going to paradise, and telling them, okay, we're ready to go to New Jerusalem now, get ready. So they appeared, they came out of the tomb, etc.
So you mean Jesus going around evangelizing in the spirit had a spiritual body?
Yes, in Hades, the spiritual body. But his body of flesh was dead in the tomb.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So then after 3 days and 3 nights, also his physical body was raised.
Yes.
Why did he have to do that?
I don't know.
Because that's his eternal body.
But there was a different body than the flesh he had.
Exactly. Exactly. Different body.
It wasn't the same.
It was a different body.
He had powers. And
yeah. In fact, it wasn't. You see, the Bible says flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
So when Jesus appeared to the disciples, he said, touch me, I'm not a spirit.
Uh-huh.
A spirit does not have flesh and bones. It didn't say blood.
Yeah.
Because when Jesus resurrected, he didn't have blood anymore. It was flesh, bones, and spirit.
Wow.
You understand?
Yeah.
So he died, the son of Mary.
Yeah.
Okay? The carpenter, Jesus of Nazareth, who had the spirit of Christ. Okay, now Christ, he doesn't die because that's the Holy Spirit. But yes, Jesus of Nazareth, yes, he died. What died was the son of Mary.
Mm-hmm.
When he resurrected, he was not the son of Mary anymore. He was only the pure, 100% son of God.
Hmm.
So the son of Mary never resurrected. What resurrected was the son of God. You follow?
Yeah.
So the same thing will happen to us. Jesus, theoretically, could have been incinerated, could have been burned, etc. He would have resurrected exactly the same. The ashes, the dust, whatever it was, God supernaturally would have put it together again, like from the dust he formed Adam. He could have again reformed Jesus. It was not necessary because Jesus was not burned. He was just crucified. But what about the saints of the Old Testament that appeared? Okay, those bodies were dust by then.
Yes.
Okay? So, it was not just spirits. It was also the body. So, what happens is that I don't understand why God doesn't have to do it. He could just snap his fingers and Jesus gets a new body in heaven. But God didn't want to do that way. God wanted his earthly body to be raised supernaturally, which Paul explains that in 1 Corinthians 15. So one is the body of the flesh, another is the body of resurrection. It's a different body.
Yeah,
so you say, why does God does it like this? I'm not sure. But anyway, that's the way he's going to do it.
You said it's because he doesn't want to leave anything to the devil.
Yeah, exactly. That's one reason for sure. Like Satan is not going to have one bit of victory on us, okay?
Mm.
Like every hair of our head, they're all counted, and everything that the devil destroyed, like people are handicapped, people are blind, the people are born weird, like I'm a little weird too. hope I'm weird for Jesus.
You are now weird.
So anything weird about us, God is going to redeem, God is going to fix it. We're going to be perfect in heaven. We're going to be like Jesus, okay? So there is going to be zero victory for the devil.
Amen.
You follow?
Amen.
So even the body of flesh, this we are now that you hear me talking, when he will die, also this God is going to redeem. He will redeem also the flesh, but spiritually, he's not going to give us a DNA and a physical blood. No. He's going to give us a body, a spirit like Jesus had, with bones, flesh, and spirit. Before,
it's gonna be
Jesus
like,
was a body that could die. And after the resurrection, couldn't die anymore. He appeared to the disciples. He says in the Bible, they were meeting in a closed door, and Jesus appears in the middle. And then he walks in the way to a mouse. There where he blesses the food, and bang, it disappears. So it's like in heaven, like the scientists are hoping that one day we'll be able to travel 100,000 light years to reach a certain planet. Can you imagine? You can start when you're 20 years old, you arrive, and after 20, 30, 50 light years of spaceship travel, you arrive, you are a grandpa 90 years old. Terrible. No, in heaven we'll be traveling around, moving around with the speed of thought. Jesus, that's how Jesus was. You know, Philip was witnessing to the eunuch in Acts chapter 8, and bang, it disappears. So in heaven it's going to be groovy. American brother used to tell me, groovy, groovy. You understand?
So the resurrected body then, which will happen when Jesus comes back, or when?
The resurrected body is like, yes, in 1 Thessalonians 4, it gives you the chronology. First the dead are raised, and then we are raptured.
So just before the rapture.
Exactly. That's like a resurrection of the body, understand?
So this resurrected body is basically...
But your spirit, as soon as you die, goes to Jesus, your spiritual body. Bang, you go to Jesus immediately. Like the guy crucified, Jesus said, "You today will be with me in paradise." That was the spiritual body, while his dead body was still on the cross and dead. Mm-hmm. But when the rapture comes, just before the rapture, 1 Thessalonians 4, it says, just before the rapture, okay, there is a resurrection.
So even if it's a resurrection of this body of flesh, it's not this same weak body.
No, it's going to be like Jesus.
An eternal body.
It's going to be like Jesus. Okay? Because he says when we see him, we're going to be like him. The first epistle of John. Can you check? 1 John, I think, is chapter 3, verse 2.
Yes, 1 John 3, 2.
What did you say?
Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be.
But
we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is.
You get that?
Yes.
So the same John, when he saw Jesus, when John saw Jesus resurrected, okay, in Revelation chapter 1, he got a shock. Jesus wasn't anymore the son of Mary, the Jewish Mary. Okay, Miriam. Okay, you know, he must have been dark hair, dark flesh. Just like the son of Mary, the son of a Jewish woman. In Revelation chapter 1, John got a shock. His eyes like fire, and the whole body was just shiny like fire, more than the sun. And his hair was like wool, you know, beautiful wool, beige. You know, that was not the son of Mary anymore, understand?
Yes, yes. So then when our body will resurrect, it's going to be a new eternal body.
Like
and
Jesus.
It's going to unite with our spirit in heaven?
Well, it's going to be the same thing. Our soul becomes immortal the moment you are born again. It's not the spirit that is born again, because the spirit never died.
Yeah.
You know, when Adam and Eve lost their spirit and died in the spirit didn't die, went back to God. It was their soul that became mortal. So the moment you are born again, your soul becomes immortal. Mm-hmm. Okay, so your soul, together with the born-again spirit, plus the resurrected body, okay, which resurrects at the rapture, you're going to be like Jesus. Not like God, okay? There's only the Trinity, you know?
But part of the body of Jesus,
divinity because of Jesus.
All right. To me, it was clear. It was interesting.
So remember that, the resurrection... Of the body, because our body will die for sure. Mm-hmm. For sure will die our body. Even if we're raptured, this body dies. It's our spirit that flies in heaven. You follow?
Oh, yeah?
Of course.
And the body is left behind?
No, you're not going to go to heaven with this body or blood.
Oh.
There will be a change. Exactly how, I don't know.
But it's transformed on the way then?
Right. Yeah, something like that.
Okay.
You know, it never happened yet, so I cannot teach. I cannot teach about the transformation. Transformation,
it's
they will be.
Because Paul says that we will not all die, but all will be transformed.
Exactly.
All will be changed.
So, but this body with blood will have to die and to be transformed into another body, understand?
Interesting.
Because for sure your blood will not enter heaven. So some changes there will be.
Yeah.
Transformed is the right word.
All right. I guess we'll have to wait and see. Exactly all the details.
Are you excited?
How it will happen.
Are you excited?
It's interesting.
Can you imagine jumping, say, okay, I want to invite you to have an ice cream in the planet over there. Okay. Well, yeah, I just have exactly a couple of minutes. Then I need to go talk to Jesus. Bang, bang, ice cream, 5 minutes. You close your eyes. Here you are. Hey, how about checking the other galaxy over there? Which one? You know, the one that the scientists used to say that would take 100 million years traveling the speed of light. Okay, fine. Ready? Let's go. Go. Bang, bang. Here we are. Oh, the nice galaxy here. 100 million years of traveling the speed of light from the Earth. Nice. Cute. Look how many sweet sheep. Hey, well, let me make a phone call to Jesus. And I stop. I want to stay here and witness. There's some people, some sweet sheep here. I want to see if they get saved. Jesus says, wow, that's wonderful. Maybe I'll send a couple of guys to help you. Paul, Peter, come here. Go help those two guys. There is some witnessing to do in the galaxy over there. Paul and Peter say, wow, Master, you really love us. Bang, here we are.
Going evangelizing with Peter and Paul.
Of course. Whatever. I mean, I don't think I'm worthy to evangelize with those two guys. But for sure, when I get out of there, I have a lot of questions to ask them because I love them so much.
Amen.
See, they remember Peter as the guy who denied Jesus three times. But you know what? Peter repented, and after that, he was a super, ultra-duper apostles, which I don't think I'm able to carry his bag or something.
Amen.
I'm not worthy. You have any more questions?
No, I don't have any more questions, but if you, dear listeners, have questions, write them in, because your questions are wonderful, and we like them.
That was a very smart question.
Yes.
God bless his brother from Mexico. I saw the picture, very simpatic. In Italian, we say simpatici. How do you say in Spanish?
Simpaticos.
Simpaticos. Dios les bendiga, hermanos en México. Vuestra foto es muy simpática. Tú tienes una esposa muy hermosa y tú tienes un esposo muy, muy simpático. Dos niños simpaticísimos. ¿Quién sabe que un día van a venir para aquí?
Yeah.
Vamos a tomar un cafecito juntos. Acá tenemos chicas que saben hacer parrilladas, lazado muy bien, ¿verdad, Angela?
The boys do better than the girls here. I tell you sincerely. The boys make the grill better than the girls.
For the ones who don't understand Spanish, I said there are some people here that know how to do, what is it in English, barbecue. So praise the Lord.
Amen.
Alabado sea el Señor, en nombre de Jesucristo. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Joseph.
Okay.
Thank you, dear friends who write in. And keep in touch. We hear each other next time at the live program, answering questions from you and also listening to other messages from Brother Joseph every Saturday and Sunday at 8 o'clock in the evening, Central American time.
Praise the Lord.
God be with you. We love you.
Amen. Jesus' name.